home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Live from Hollywood, it's Rated LGBT Radio with your hosts, Garrett Miller and Rob Watson.
I'm Rob.
And some days I'm Garrett, and this is Rated
Someday.
LGBT Radio.
We're not
Radio.
Quite sure today.
Not quite sure. We're just not sure. Hey, Rob, by the way, before we get started, I want to give a big shout out to all the new people who are joining the Rated LGBT Facebook group page that we've got set up. We keep just getting more and more of you every single week. We are like, how is this word of mouth just spreading like wildfire? Because we're really grateful to you for signing up and being part of it. And we hope that you tune in and listen and are part of the fun, because we love doing this for and with you. So I thought that was really cool.
Welcome to the fold. Yeah, no, it's great. So
now, here's the complaint that I have about this week. I have a complaint.
You have a complaint?
Is that
okay.
When people join the
group.
Hold on.
Let me wait. Complaint department. Hello.
Okay. Hi, complaint department. I have a complaint about the Rated LGBT Facebook group page.
Okay. We accept complaints in writing and in triplicate. So.
Well, you're going to have to deal with this one up front, because I don't have time for that. I'm doing a show tonight with all the folks tuning in. Here's the problem that I have with the group page, and it's not a problem for anybody else except for me. When we get people who join, as soon as we hit the approve button, you just kind of go into the lot of you. And I would really like to have that name, you know, like the recent members or something like that, stay somewhere where I can find them relatively easily. So when we get people who are joining, especially when it's, you know, I don't know, 5 or 10, you know, new members a week, that at the beginning of the show, we can actually give shout outs to all the new members and say, thank you for signing up. That's my complaint.
I really love your, I love your complaint, and I raise it one, because see, I always find myself a little bit of a disadvantage, because I have this incredibly great co-host who is not only great on the air, he is also Johnny on the spot. As soon as somebody signs up, I mean, I get a little notice on my phone that, you know, Joe Smith is joining Rated LGBT Radio. And literally I will tap it like 3 seconds after Joe Jones has requested LGBT Radio. And guess what? He's already been accepted. You're that quick.
Well, you know, you also have a job that requires a little bit more brain power in your day than I do. And so, you know, I'm on Facebook a lot. I'm interacting with the listeners, answering questions that they have and comments. Okay, so I guess there's like a little thing where I can say new. So here are some of the new members coming up. If I'm not mentioning your name, it's only because Facebook's giving you the top 8 new members. So if you're not on here, it's not that we don't love you, but we just – this is just not showing up. So Raul Albino, Rob added you earlier today. Thank you very much. Lucia Cesar, thanks for joining us. Isaac Lawrence, Barry Young, Mark Bittman, John Kreisel, Jimmy Lancaster, and Frank Delaney. You're all new members to the Rated LGBT Radio public group page. So thanks for signing up. And by the way, we love when you interact with us. So if you want to make comments about the show, we kind of stay on topic, you know. And by the way, unlike some other group pages where people can just post crap, random crap, and I don't care if it's LGBT crap or other crap, on other pages that's great. On this, on our page, we really are more show driven. So if you want to comment about a guest or our show or us or something like that, that's really cool. But we don't really put a lot of other posts having to do with other just even LGBT topics on here, because that's just not what our page is for. Not that we don't love it, but this is not CNN, and we're not trying to be Huffington Post or anything else. This is just for our show and the topics
sort of
that we're talking about.
Yeah, it's sort of like our little coffee shop. You come in and you may talk to us, but you may not come in and step around us and put up a billboard for something else and turn around and say, oh, excuse me, and walk out. So yeah, you can't treat us that way. Sorry about that.
Because I've got friends, and I've got especially friends who are overseas who are part of this group, and they love posting for their causes, which have nothing to do with our show or necessarily LGBT for that matter. So, I mean, sometimes we might go like, well, I can kind of see, But it's not even that. So I've just had to say, no, we're not going to be posting that. You know, you post in 7,000 other groups, and that's great, but that's not what we're doing here. But
right.
For all the new members, again, all the folks that we've got new, we wanted to say thank you for being here, because we're live every Thursday, and we're going to be talking about that in just a minute. But we're live every Thursday, and coming to you at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Now, of course, you know, if you can't listen to us live, the show is always available in the archives on demand. You can just click the same show link that you see on the show page here for Rated LGBT Radio on Facebook, and you can pretty much listen to any of the shows. If you want to go back to the archives, the main show, you know, it's kind of like the Oprah Winfrey Productions Presents, you know. So Rated G Radio is the umbrella for the Friday Night Dance Party, for Rated LGBT Radio, for Super Gay Radio, and then also for the Rated G Radio, which is really Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So
right.
If you go to iTunes on the podcast and want to go back and get any archived issues of Rated LGBT Radio, you're actually going to be looking for Rated G Radio, because that's the umbrella name, and you can go search those out, or just simply look here on Blog Talk and go back and listen to any of the awesome guests or awesome topics that we've had. So
right.
Yeah.
And tonight, I want to put this out early on, so in case anybody actually wants to do this, they've got a heads up on it. Plus, I need you to give the phone number, because I don't remember it myself. But anyway, and so that's a little heads up for you. So tonight, if you're listening, there was a post that I posted on Rated LGBT Radio. We've got something coming up I may be the only person in the world that's really super, super excited about this, but what the hell, I am. I have this very good friend that I've had for a couple of years now that I adore, and we have this very weird aspect to our friendship in that we have never, ever, ever met in person.
What?
And that
is that possible?
It is more than possible. It is. And that good friend happens to be sitting across the virtual table here, Mr. Garrett Miller.
It is
but
true. It is very
as
true.
Of Monday, we are changing that, because I kind of fell into this information by accident, but Garrett is flying up to San Francisco. I am going to drive up, haul him out of SFO and into the city for an afternoon and evening of his life, because not only has he never met me, he's never met San Francisco in person. So if you're listening, if you've ever dreamed of San Francisco, if you've ever been to San Francisco, if you're in San Francisco, call in and give me ideas of must-dos that I need to take Garrett to on Monday.
There's your assignment. Yeah, that's your homework, listeners. Between now and Monday, you can call in tonight at 323-657-1493. The number's on the show page right there, 323-657-1493. If you're shy and unassuming and don't want to talk on the radio, that's totally fine. You can ping us on the Blog Talk chat room, which is currently open, or send Rob or I a message on Facebook. Or, I mean, we're just trying to make this as easy for you as possible. Not trying to give you 7,000 places to go, but we just want to make it easy for you. If you're looking at the post on Rated LGBT Radio on Facebook, that's our public group page, there's a bunch of people who've made comments. And do you want to talk about any of those recommendations
sure.
that we've seen
so far?
Yeah, we
can. The one thing I wanted to mention, which I haven't even talked to you about this, so I may be a little bit out of school on it, but while we are tooling around San Francisco, being the prepared roving reporter that I am actually going to have my little recorder with me, and so we will be doing little not all the time, but, you know, we're not Madonna, you know, with Truth and Consequences or whatever it was, but I will be pulling that out every once in a while and doing little on-the-spot interviews with Garrett in the middle of San Francisco, and if we happen to be in a place that you suggested, we will talk about you, and those recordings could end up on the air. Unless they're crap, and then we won't even tell anybody we did them.
Well, I mean, when you say we'll talk about you, we mean in a positive, good way. Like, oh my gosh, so-and-so said we had to go here, and this is awesome. Not like, oh my God, we're here, and so-and-so said this. Did you see what so-and-so is wearing? We're not going to be doing that.
Well, we'll see.
Well, we might. Who knows? I mean,
if so-and-so suggested something really awful, then we may get a little, but no, we're not like that. So, yeah.
You might not be like that.
Well, we'll see. Yeah.
Okay.
See, I have this secret weapon. I don't know if it works for you, but whenever I get in a bad mood, I pop on my favorite Garrett Miller CD and listen to The Fog or I Am or Blonde Jesus, and it just lifts me right up. But, you know.
Oh, there we go. Well, you know, I aim to please and, you know, be of service to humanity. So thank you, Rob, for that. Yeah, we're going to have a great time. So, I mean, this all started – actually, I'll back this up. So I'm going to talk a little personal business here since, you know, we've got the time.
Yeah.
I've been looking for – I have a quote-unquote regular job that has not been regular and not really much of a job for the last couple of years. And I still got business that I do, and I'm grateful for it. And, you know, so I'm putting out the gratitude, grateful. So I'm not discounting that at all. But it's very clear that, you know, Papa needs a new gig and, you know, something to pay rent. And so I've been putting out feelers, ranging everything from, you know, hey, I'll bag groceries at the local Ralph's. No kidding. I did apply. I've applied at, you know, all the, you know, major retailers. I've applied online at places. I've applied at Costco's. I've done word of mouth. I've actually been surprised that I don't have more doors open to me. But Rob and I have talked about this, and it's really no big secret that I'm a big fan of the law of attraction and, right, you know, being grateful and writing down my gratitudes and my God and angels list every day and all of these things that you may or may not like, believe in, or anything else. And that's okay, because I'm not imposing my belief systems on you. This is what I do. But I also know that, you know, when I'm out there applying for various sundry jobs that, you know, aren't necessarily in my best interest, that the doors really aren't going to open for me. But and that's okay. But it's me putting out the energy that I really want to be open for new opportunities. So I've just put this out there. And then all of a sudden, about 3 weeks ago, somebody posted a post online saying this particular, I'm going to leave the name of the company out of this until it, you know, kind of runs out. But right, they posted saying this particular company is hiring for these types of positions. And I thought, and it was just kind of like one of those things, because all jobs that I've ever had ever, Rob, starting from the time that I was 9 years old and I got my first paper out, which I had for 6 years, believe it or not, and I hated it. I still have like nightmares about not collecting the paper route money monthly. You know, it's like, you know, let's see, I'm 29 now. So it was like 20 years ago, I'm having, you know, dreams about that. And, well, you know, something like that. I'm not very good at math.
I was not arguing.
Good. But every job I've ever had has come through a referral or somebody who said, oh, you know, I know this guy named Garrett and he'd be perfect for this. You need to talk to him because he's the one that's going to solve all the world's problems. Every job, every single one has been like that. And, you know, and even going back to when I graduated from Arizona State, I remember at the time I had a girlfriend of mine came over and, you know, she's like, well, let's go out. Let's go. And I said, you know, I have to sit here and apply for all these jobs because I got to, you know, I've just graduated from Arizona State and I've got to apply for these jobs that are going to make me work 100 hours a week for, you know, basically $30,000 a year. And I'll be lucky to get it. And, you know, and I just never really understood that it was just the energy of putting that stuff out there that let opportunities to start, you know, coming back to me. And of course, all those jobs that I applied for never went anywhere, but that wasn't really the goal. The goal, as I understand it now, is that you just have to be open and, you know, telling the universe that you want to have opportunities come to you.
I have to tell you, that is also my experience in that,
yeah,
because I have been in several situations where I have literally been throwing as much as I could into getting a job. Once when I was employed and for 2 years, I was constantly papering Silicon Valley with resumes. And, you know, I had a horrible boss, really, really horrible. And it was like, get me out of here. And,
yep,
you know, I was stuck there until the right moment. And the minute the right moment opened up and it was a recruiter calling me and, you know, popped over, you know, I went over to it like, okay, I've been papering everything for years and years. Nobody wants me. Walked in, doors just flew open. And
right,
I was,
yeah,
over there. And recently I was unemployed for a year and a half, but I was also taking care of my senior parents and they were very hands-on in terms of what I needed to be doing for them. The minute that, and it wasn't my idea, but the minute I had to put them someplace because they required greater care and literally freed up my own time. Boom, I got the gig that I'm working in now. And again, it was, you know, they were after me, and it is a big thing than just boom, you run and get a job.
Well, you know, and we talked about this because, you know, you're one of it, and I don't know all of your career history, but I know enough of it to know that you're very employable. And, you know, while you're going, you know, Garrett, I've done this and I've done this and I've done this. But then at the same time, in your same breath, you're going like, well, now I've got to do that. And it's like, you know, and I would just say to myself, there's just no way he can do a regular job with all of these other commitments that he's got to take care of. But, you know, that's not for me to, you know, play career counselor with you, because that wasn't what you were asking for or needing at the time. But again, as soon as you get your parents situated, it's like, Garrett, I got a job. And yep. it was like seconds after that was taken care of that this all
it literally was. It was the timing on it was astounding. And that's why I'm mentioning it for you, because you will find a place that isn't just going to bring in compensation. It's going to be, you're going to have a reason to be there. You are a reason person. You're not purposeless.
Yep.
Everything you do has purpose to it. And you have a lot to give. And I truly believe you'll be put in that position. You'll be taken care of, you know, as you need, but you will also be put in a position where once you're in it, it will be, oh, this wasn't about the money. This was about I'm needed here.
Well, and there's a little bit of that in how this is all going to play out. But I'm a firm believer that, you know, again, in my head, both logically and practically, and, you know, the future that I want to create for myself, and I am creating for myself, it's not this job. However, it is, it's an opportunity to be of service to others. It's an opportunity to do some things I've never done before. And quite frankly, the starting wage on it really is kind of nice. Especially considering, you know, the last couple of months not having income coming in, and then all of a sudden saying it's going to be, you know, this to start, and this is based on the new contract, and this is what you're going to be looking at. And I'm going, holy cow, you have got to be kidding. I can do that with a smile on my face anytime.
Right.
So long story short is I found this thing and applied online, and then they immediately got back to me. They had me do a video interview online. And then after that, they sent me an email and said, we love that. We want you to come and actually visit us. And so I called to get it scheduled. And the place that they wanted me to go for the interview is San Francisco. So they're flying me out next Monday afternoon. Rob is kind enough to go pick me up in the afternoon and, you know, take me around town. And that's what we want your input for. And then I'll have my interview on Tuesday morning and, you know, figure out what's going to happen after that. But I'm very excited. It's an opportunity that, you know, frankly, if you presented it to me 6 months ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I would have laughed at you. And now I just go, what a really cool opportunity this could be, whether it's, you know, for 6 months, a year, or whatever the case is, I'm at least open to it. And all the indications are that, you know, it could be a very good fit. So we'll see.
Right. And I strongly think that, you know, this will be something that when you look back, it will fit in the puzzle perfectly, and you will understand,
oh, yeah,
you know, why right now it seems like this disconnect, but, you know, because this is, you know, without going into what it is, but it's, you know, people oriented and meeting people and being places, and all of those are opportunities.
Exactly. And so, again, I'm very grateful. And I will tell you that being vague is not one of my fun things to do. So if I could tell a secret, I want to tell it really, really bad. However, I also don't want to jinx it, and I don't want to jeopardize, you know, the possibility of what's going to be taking place, especially until, you know, ink is dry on a contract type of a deal.
Right.
But,
right.
Very grateful.
And the,
you know,
CIA would appreciate you being, oops, oh, oop, oh, start.
Oops.
Oh, yeah. Oop. Yeah. No, well, anyway, I didn't say anything.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's what's going on. I'm going to go up and hang out with Rob. And again, if you want to call in at 323-657-1493 and share your idea of where Rob should take me for a meal or a site to see or something like that in the San Francisco area, that would be great. And then we'll talk about that next week also. So that'll be cool.
Right. So just to prime the pump and just to put some debate out there of the San Franciscites that are listening and have opinions, one little piece of conflict maybe with some of the input was one person on my Facebook page highly recommended that I cart you off to Fisherman's Wharf, whereas somebody else gave an article saying, don't do Fisherman's Wharf, it's for tourists. So,
well, I'm a tourist.
Well, yeah, that too.
Hello.
So there's a hot button question: to Fisherman's Wharf or not to Fisherman's Wharf? That isn't the question, but it's a question. So
a question.
You know, feel free to call in and give us some of your input on that one. But I actually have a few places that I do want to take you because they are some places of LGBT history.
Oh yeah.
And so I kind of want to take you to. There are two of them I have in mind, and when we're there, you know, kind of talk through it and, you know, get your kind of your reaction and thoughts being in the scene on the ground right there at the time.
I love it. And by the way, I'm also going to be bringing my big boy camera. You know how I like to take pictures of everything. So one of my goals next week is when Rob and I are hanging out that, you know, while we have good natural daylight, not in the sun, but natural daylight, just so we're lit well, we're going to take a picture that we can use for the Reddit LGBT radio thing. So you just don't see my mug. I finally, after only doing this for 6 months, I finally got around to, you know, changing the graphic to say Reddit LGBT radio as the primary, but it still has just my picture on it. So I'd love to get a picture of Rob and I. So we're going to try to figure out something cute, but it looks good. And
right.
We'll get it photoshopped up and, you know, all the cool stuff will be on it. And we'll start using that as of next week also.
Yay for Photoshop. Yes.
Well, I mean, we don't need that much, but you know, that's how I put all my text on and, you know, yeah. I get stuff centered and, you know, change the, you know, what do you call it? The exposures and, you know, stuff like that. So it looks halfway decent.
Right.
Cause you know, the thing that just gets me to no end is, you know, I take a look at pictures and again, I'm a real novice at Photoshop. I'm trying to learn, a little bit, you know, every time I use it and it's, I'm more of an intuitive learner where I just kind of, you know, press buttons and see what happens and I go, oh, okay, that's what this does. And then I do it. And, that's not really how Photoshop works. Photoshop is very complex by comparison to an intuitive learner like myself. So, you know, it's one of those where I wish I would have known, you know, a year ago, what I know now type of a thing. But I love the results that I get with it. And, you know, for all the pictures that I take, pretty much all of them, I'm adjusting the exposure, the contrast, you know, brightening this up, maybe using a little of the, you know, spot healing tool to take out an age spot or a wrinkle or something like that. But, you know, I'm not one of those that goes in on pictures, Rob, and takes the person and turns them into a Barbie doll where they look completely cosmetic.
Right.
So I mean, to me, that,
well, that's very, very good. I'm very glad you don't do that.
Gross.
If you want to do it a little bit, you know, I would.
Yeah.
No.
It should look touched up. It shouldn't look like you've gone to a bad Beverly Hills surgeon. So, you know, that's always what I want to do.
Yeah, actually,
we'll have some new graphics and all that fun stuff. Maybe we'll turn some of those things that Rob's records into, you know, like little clips and we'll play them on a show, on our shows, like commercials or something like that.
Well, we can do that because the recording device I have is actually pretty cool. It plugs right into the computer and I can burn, you know, different interview pieces onto tracks on a CD. So, you know,
as long as you turn them into an MP3, then we can get them loaded up and then we can play them for the listeners.
Yep. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun. So to that end, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
So I want you to clear your mind. Mm-hmm. And when I say San Francisco, what's the first thing that came to mind?
Golden Gate Bridge.
Okay. So
now I will tell you now I'm going to preface this, you know, cause I've not been to San Francisco, meaning I have not gotten out of a car. I have not walked around. I have not eaten at a restaurant. However, I have driven through San Francisco and I have been across the Golden Gate Bridge and I have driven across, you know, a couple of the bridges in the area, but it's not, I have not taken the time to stop to do whatever. So
okay, well, that's good information too. So
I don't need to see the Golden Gate Bridge. I don't need to, you know.
Golden Gate is up in there, done that. Okay, got it. Okay.
And I'm also one, by the way, I told you this on our chats last night on Facebook. I'm not one that's really impressed with a lot of pomp and circumstance. I'm not impressed by an expensive restaurant. I'm not impressed by, and neither of us drink, but I'll just use the example, a big expensive
right.
bottle of champagne. I'm not impressed by that. For, you know, if I had a gazillion dollars and all of that, that's fine. But, you know, the realities are that I really just appreciate the basics. And so if it's a, you know, basic tourist type of thing, or, you know, something that's just, it's really cool to do and it doesn't cost a ton of money, those things I actually appreciate more than going, oh, let's go to the hoity-toity. Cause then I'm like, ugh, cause everybody here is hoity-toity.
Yeah, no, we're hoity and toity are not going to be joining with us.
Okay, cool.
On this trip. In fact, you're probably, just be prepared, you're probably going to experience the San Francisco subway.
That would be fun.
Yeah, it is fun, actually. It's a lot of fun.
By the way,
and
how late are, okay, you know, because I'm not that big of a night owl, and I know you got to get home to the boys. I mean, do
right.
we have like a time limit on how long we're going to hang out until like 8:39, something like that?
Yeah, it'll probably be that comfort zone level.
Okay.
What I figure is, because we should get there probably 4:35-ish.
Well, I don't get in until 4:30, so that means I get out of the airport at 5, and then if I can drop my suitcase off, which is conveniently located 2 miles away at a lovely hotel, it was the cheapest hotel I could find on hotels.com, and so I'll be staying there, and then, you know, just head out, we'll be good to go.
Yeah, so we'll pop around, we're going to park, and then I've got a little bit of a walking subway kind of itinerary that'll take us through.
So is this called the
stuff.
BART? Are we going to be taking BART?
It's funny. There are two subway systems there that kind of go side by side. I don't know that we'll actually be on the BART one, but the Mooney is like, you can barely tell the difference between the two. They're both nice subway train-ish type things.
Well, I wouldn't know. It could be
traveling.
A gross subway train, and I probably wouldn't know the difference. But I didn't. BART's the name that I associate with San Francisco, so.
It is in the same station that we'll be catching whichever one we happen to go on. So
cool. I'm excited. That'll be so much fun.
So here's the other question. What do you think about Chinatown? Because that is an optional.
I would love, oh my gosh, that would be awesome.
Okay. So that's an in. All righty. So,
totally be into Chinatown, totally in for a subway ride. Yeah, anything like that is I'm totally on board for.
Okay. Well, so I want to start at one end. We'll do walking and subway to a couple places. And then, I'm thinking Castro for dinner. And so you can see the Mecca.
Okay.
And
can we get
we'll
all of this in like 3 hours?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll hoop it. I think we can do it.
You'll know better than me. So,
well, the fun thing about a city is in the subway is you actually pop across the city fairly quickly, where if you're trying to drive it or get there other ways, it doesn't happen as quickly. So I think we can do it. My kind of hope is that we can kind of do dinner thing up in the Castro, you know, sightsee up there a little bit. Then come back down towards where we will be parked. And the last thing before we get in the car and head on out is maybe go up to the top of the Marriott, which has this wonderful sort of bar nightclub thing. But as night has fallen and the lights come on, then you can see the whole city from up on high. Yeah.
That would be totally fun.
Yeah. So that's kind of the outline of what I'm thinking so far.
I think that's an ambitious outline. I think that's going to be really, really, really a lot to get in, but I'm totally game.
Well, you know, if we spend 10 minutes in these places and head on out, then so be it. But they're all kind of on the way to each other. So it's not like,
oh, okay, cool. Even better.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, we like one place we want to stop, we stop, get off the subway, spend 15 minutes, get back on the subway and head on more. So
there we go. Right on. Well, I'm game. So I'm excited for that. And that's going to be coming up this Monday. So for everybody who's listening, here's a quick programming note. We're going to do our Monday show with Dr. Annie Ulrich. She is a psychic, a tea leaf reader, a tarot card reader, and she'll be doing her July energy update. I'm going to do that show at 8:00 on Monday morning. I had to cancel my Tuesday show with Stephen Michael Shearer. We're going to talk about Hedy Lamarr He's been on before. He's just a fantastic guest with rich, rich histories of Hollywood yesteryear stars and an author. He's been on talking about Hedy Lamarr before, but we are going to actually have him back on for part two. We were going to do that the Tuesday, but I'm going to be up there and I'm not going to do the show on my iPad. And I've also done it on my iPad before. It's horrible. So we're going to skip that and do that another time. So just as a programming note for all of you who listen faithfully 5 days a week. So thank you for that. So, hey, by the way, Rob, what's happening this Saturday night on your show out in Santa Cruz on KSCO 1080 AM in Santa Cruz, California?
Okay, well, I'm going to tell on my guest, not this last week, but the week before, was actually a no-show. And that was a little bit difficult. It's sort of like the shadow puppets on radio type time where, you know, I had a bunch of questions, but I didn't have a lot to talk about. So I had to come up with stuff in the hour. So it was an interesting hour. Let's put it that way. Well, She apologized and she is planning on being on again this Saturday. Her name is author Shivas Moore. She will be talking to us about her life in the Arab world. She's a feminist and a lesbian, and she lived 17 years in the Middle East in a culture that is not known for being very friendly to either lesbians or feminists. And so we are going to find out more about that. Also, one thing that just sort of came up was I got a message for a show that is going on in Santa Cruz with a set of comedians. And they have promised that they are going to call in and we're going to talk with them a little bit. And I am trying to find their names so I can actually mention their names. I'm not finding it right off the bat. So they may be a surprise, but they will be our special humor guests that will call in. And
cool.
You know, they're doing a show locally, and so we're going to have them on. They actually, I just found them, Jenny McNutty and Catherine Lousenberry, are doing an evening of comedy, music, and improv here locally. And so they're going to call up and give us a preview and be funny and musical and all that sort of good stuff. So, you know, we should have a really interesting mix on Saturday. That Saturday on Out in Santa Cruz, KSCO.com or outinsantacruz.com, 7 p.m. Pacific time.
That is going to be a great show. I, if I'm around, I am going to be tuning in. So, you know, this past Saturday I tuned in. I was, you know, it's one of those things. I've either got 1,000 things going on or I'm working on something, you know, fast and furious, and I look up and it's like 6:56 and it's like, oh, I've got to tune in. And, you know, I just kind of crank the volume up and have you blast through my room as I'm working on different projects. And it's always a good hour. So I,
yeah,
you know, and I always call this kind of like the fun hour because I'm part of it and I get to talk with Rob. But when I'm listening to the show with Rob and Stefan out in Santa Cruz on KSCO 1080 AM on Saturdays at 7 o'clock, you know, it's one of those shows where I get educated. It's a fun show, but I always call that like a real radio show because you have like hard stops at 20 after the hour for commercial break and 40 after the hour, and you end right at 7 o'clock, and it's you know, it's a structured show. And I like the fact that you actually have a framework for it. So it's a great show to listen to if you want to get educated and yet still have it be light and entertaining. So I appreciate not only the guests, but both the energy that both you and Steph put into it. Moment for you.
At some point, I should put up a camera there and film the show and show it to you, because what you don't see that is going on behind the background is kind of intriguing, because we've got an engineer in the other room. And when things are not happening exactly as they should or they could be, he's behind this glass window making sign language at me or Steph, whoever is working the board. And it's one of those things where he's making these signs and you're kind of going, what is he saying? It's like, what does that mean, Sam? It's like, turn a knob, you know, turn it down. What's going on? You know, so
well, you should see me, you know, when we're doing our show, I'm waving fingers at you all the time.
Yeah, I know. I actually see them. I just pretend I don't.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, so we do have fun time. Yeah. So
just for everybody who's listening, so I can tell you what's happening for the Friday night dance party. It's going to be a Friday morning dance party tomorrow. Our show is going to be live starting at 8 a.m. Pacific time. I've got Eddie Mann. He's got a brand new album out called Dig Love. He's got his new single is called Home. We're going to be playing that along with You Make Me Feel. And that's an hour number one. Hour two, we've got Donica Knight. She is a country artist, and she's got an EP out with five songs, including Love Ain't a Prize and Acting Like a Lady. We're going to be playing both of those and talking to, again, Eddie Mann in hour one at 8 o'clock and Donica Knight at 9 a.m. And so that's going to be happening. For everybody who loved our Super Gay radio show that I was doing with Paul and Mass on Saturday mornings, we're in talks right now of when we're going to come back and what we're going to be doing. We had a lot of people that jumped on board for that, and you went for the ride with us on Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock. We really appreciated that. Paul wanted a little bit of time off for his vacation with his husband. And when, you know, and I knew this would happen, but when we stopped doing the show, you know, every Saturday, because, you know, once you commit to doing it, you just do it. But when you take that break, it's like, when do you want to come back? Do you want to do it this Saturday? I don't know. Do you want to do it this Saturday? I don't know. So for the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about when we're going to come back. I think just from a standpoint of convenience, because I'm now getting a lot of stuff happening on the weekends for acting and, you know, movies and TV and things like that, I'm thinking that we may change our lineup instead of weekly to be maybe like a once a month, 2 hour Saturday morning special, something like that. I don't know. Paul and I will be talking about it, but we'll be bringing the show back to you sometime in the coming weeks. And, you know, Rob and I have one energy, and it's totally, totally fun. It is a completely different show because Rob and I tend to be very PC, and we don't swear a lot on air, at least. Rob rarely swears. I swear like a sailor, but if I start swearing here, it's like F, and then it's just, you know, it loses the effectiveness. But on the show on Saturday mornings, it is all anything goes. So, you know, you can hear foul language. We can be talking about sex toys. We can be talking about drag racing, and not the kind with cars. We can talk about anything. Well, this is tends to be a little bit more more, I say adult, but then, you know, adult themed means that, you know, it's okay to be talking about X-rated topics. And Rob and I don't do that here on the show.
No. Yeah. Well, that's
it's not our gig.
No,
I think Rob and I blush
too much. Conditioned out of it, being a dad for so long, it's like, you know, it's. My swear words are, you know, oh, Cracker Jack. And it's like, okay,
yeah. Boy, Dad, that one really fooled me.
Yeah, it's like, snap. You know,
yeah, snap.
Yeah. So it's, well, which is good because out in Santa Cruz is under tight FCC regulations. So it's good that I don't have to be too tight on my own monitoring. Although it's funny, when I mentioned to guests that they can't swear on out in Santa Cruz, most of them get so indignant, like, you know, well, I don't use that language anyway. It's like going, okay, well, you're a punk rocker. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe, you know, it's like, you know, but no. So nobody claims it in any case.
Yeah. It's, you know, and I don't think there's anything, you know, there's no wrong way or right way to do it. It's just, I think once you start getting a pattern built for how you do it, that's just what you do. And if you start messing around with it, people are like, what are you doing? We liked what you were doing. Stop doing that, because that's not why we liked you in the first place.
Right. So not to change the subject, but do you want to talk about some LGBT stuff going on or that's gone on?
Please.
So, you know, you know, a lot of your material is very spiritual, and we've kind of talked about some of the principles of that as they apply to kind of the endeavors you're working on right now. A lot of people in this spiritual religious spectrum, their philosophy is a complete mystery to me. And I'm kind of pointing out a certain group, and here's what they did in the last, I would say last week, I think it was around the 4th of July, actually. In Toronto, they have a very, very, very big gay pride celebration. It goes on all weekend. It was so big that their prime minister, who is quite a hottie, pardon my French. See, there's how risque I go. But
I'm blushing, Rob.
I know. Oh, get the censors. He marched in the parade, which is, you know, for a world leader to march in a gay pride parade is actually kind of a big deal. And that was a great thing. Well, you know, in these big parades, there are all sorts of groups, just thousands and thousands that pile on in. Well, one group that dressed as, they were called gay zombies. That was the name of the group that they signed up on. And they are wearing, you know, completely more like Martians than zombies. I mean, they're like all in green body suits and, you know, kind of alien masks and all this stuff. So they're, you know, that part is weird too. So they didn't even quite get the, you know, zombie thing. So they're billed gay zombies. Their sign says gay zombies, cannabis consumers. So the green is supposed to show that they're trying to be potheads. They've got rainbow tutus on, you know, big rainbow sachets. So their really objective here was to be big green, outrageous, zombie-ish, whatever. Well, in reality, they are ultra-conservative, anti-gay, homophobic, Christians. And their objective was to dress this way and put up the sign. And they're marching with a group that looks like it's like male nudists or something. They're scantily clad older men. But their goal was to be in this weird getup so that when they handed out their little packets that people would take them, because when they showed up, you know, as themselves, I guess in past years, they gave out like 40. And when they dressed in this outrageous, ridiculous outfit, they gave out many more. So that was their big deal. And, you know, the thing they gave out was basically this little pamphlet about all the horrible health things that would happen to you for being gay, graphic images of diseases associated with same-sex behaviors, including anal warts and AIDS, which, of course,
because that never happens to straight people.
Yeah, no, because, you know, here's one little factoid for anybody listening and anybody not listening. There is not a single sex act that gay people do that straight people do not do more than gay people do. Not one. Yeah. Not a single sex act. So, you know, but anyway.
Can I talk about a really startling statistic that I just read right before the show started? It has to do with heterosexuals, but...
Sure.
And this is a study of, and I don't have the article up in front of me, so I'm just going back from what I read, but it was a study done of over 5,000 people, both men and women, age 15 to 50, and a whopping is over 70% of them thought that heterosexual sex was a safe alternative to, not contract HIV.
Well, I think about that.
5,000 people aged 15 to 50 thought that anal heterosexual sex was a safer sex act than vaginal sex.
Right. Because the vaginal sex is the threat they have is pregnancy, which.
Well, I mean, that was they thought that it was a lower risk of contracting HIV you were heterosexual and having anal sex.
I'm not sure
where the logic comes in from that at all. But there you go.
Well, that HIV is in itself is you really need to stay up on that information anyway, because the landscape changes quite a bit with especially with the new medications that are out there on what is now safer and not safe. One of the things that kind of irritates me in just the LGBT community or specifically the gay and bi men community is this idea that, positive men are like pariahs, and that, you know, there are a lot of negative men out there who will go out with other negative men no matter when they're tested. They'll do pretty much anything with them, not realizing that a person who thinks they're negative that isn't has a viral load that is almost certainly contagious, where most positive men now have are undetectable, and their viral loads are undetectable and are most likely not contagious at all. So it's this
good point.
We have prejudices going around that, you know, people just need more research, and probably straight people even more so than gay people, because they think they're just immune to it all. So, yeah. But going back to these zombies, you know, here's one thing that really irks me as a Christian, not as a gay man who has these weirdos passing out all this crap. But how can you go out and, even if you think gay people are sinning and all that, do something that is so blatantly sinful yourself? I mean, this, you know, one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not bear false witness. And certainly wearing green rainbow suits, pretending you're one thing when you're not, is false witness. So yeah. Moral dilemma on,
you know,
line one.
It's you know, for a lot of the things that we do, and I really think that you hold your tongue very well. I don't so much, but I'm also sometimes, you know, I think I'm a little more careful here on the air than other times in my life. But, you know, for all the people who are out there that are, you know, doing stuff like that, you know, then we get into, you know, we get into all that, well, you know, you're going to hell because of this, and you're going to hell. And everybody wants to be so friggin' judgmental. It's like, you know, I would just like, you know, can you just, unless you're going to say something nice, maybe just worry about your own self and, you know, what your own salvation is going to be, instead of trying to, you know, impart your views on someone else. And I don't know why I'm so, you know, stuck on that, but it just, that really bugs me that when people, you know, do something like this, Rob, and say, well, we're going to put on a disguise and then trick you into reading our material, 'cause that's going to work. 'Cause,
right.
You know, I would hasten to say that, and I'm not a betting man, Rob, because when I bet, I lose. But I would bet you $1 that 99.999999% of the people that got any of those pamphlets, as soon as they saw what it really was, threw it away. So not only did you have the wasted time and energy of these idiots putting on the green uniforms of the rainbow tutus and taking time out of their, you know, Christ-filled lives, and wink, wink, because, you know it's not full of love, and, you know, spending their time going to a gay pride parade and passing out all this literature. So they spent thousands and thousands of dollars on printing. They spent thousands of dollars on their uniforms. And then they took all of their own time to go and do this just so they can feel better about the fact that they feel superior to other people. And I'm stunned that people think that's going to ever change minds.
No, it wouldn't be a good bet with me, because I'd be on the same side of the bet as you. And I'm also a bad bettor. So you need to find a bet
okay.
that I can actually take with you, because you'll win.
We're winners then, Rob. We're really winners.
But the other point that I wanted to make out of your very fine point that you've just made is, yes, the 99.99 people would reject it and throw it away. But the really scary part is that 0.1 person is also not somebody that would pick that up and feel particularly inspired. It would probably be somebody that it would disturb greatly and would depress them and harm them and create mental issues with somebody who is grappling with their own sexuality and that shame and fear and negativity would not push them into a healthy place.
Then point and counterpoint. Then let me ask you this: for that 0.01 that might get it and what the heck are they doing at a gay pride parade? They're going to be in the middle of this parade, in downtown wherever, and, you know, in the middle of all this wonderful energy and people having a great time, And then in the midst of that going, oh, you know, I just feel so bad about myself because I'm an LGBTQI person. And, you know, this crazy person in a green tutu that looked like a zombie just gave me this pamphlet. This must be the way.
Well, you know, it's like that, you know, when you get to a place where you are grappling with something, you decide you're going to pick up your courage, you're going to go to Gay Pride, you're going to, you know that is what you need to do. You're trying to get out of that negative space. You get there, you're feeling good. You're feeling all that energy that you just described and feeling kind of a sense of healing coming over you. These green guys come by, they're kind of funky, weird. You're starting to enjoy it. They hand you this thing, you open it up, and there your worst shamed nightmare pops out at you again. You know, it's that kind of instance that, you know, there are people there that, you know, they're there to gain their confidence. They're not there because their confidence is completely in the bag. You know, it's, you know, it is a step forward to them to come out in that community and feel safe. And so, you know, kind of Trojan horsing some, you know, really negative bomb on them could be really harmful. I mean, that's true of a lot of transgender kids that come out and, you know, they're trying to put a lot of the negativity behind them. And, you know, they vacillate. And you can see this on YouTube. There are different people like that who have made YouTube videos where, you know, they're getting a support group and people are being supportive of them. But then just one thing that's said kind of throws them back into grappling with things again. So it's, you know, people can be in vulnerable positions, and these people can be the ones that inadvertently get to them.
Well, let's just hope if they are that 0.01% and they do get one of those greeny pamphlets that somebody, you know, gives them some common sense and support and helps them see past that to just realize that that goes into a recycle bin so we can, you know, save a tree down the road.
Right. Well, and case in point too, like if, you know, I have not really taken my sons to Gay Pride events, and I don't know how Toronto's is. I wouldn't take my sons to San Francisco. It gets some of the groups get really out there. Yeah. And I would take them to Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz is very community oriented and appropriate. But if I was in Toronto and one of these funky green zombie guys that, you know, my teen boys might find funny and take that pamphlet from them, I would be pretty horrified that that material was put in their hands. I mean, that is really abusive. So, I'm not happy with these turkeys.
But, you know, for a parent like you, so again, I'm going to do point and counterpoint. If your son did get his hands on one of those types of things, says, "Dad, what the heck is this?" You now are in the driver's seat for a great parent moment and a great teaching moment about what it is to be a good human being, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'd be like, okay, right on. Thanks, Greenies, for giving me this, because now my kids are going to totally get what you are. And I'm going to make sure that they have a clear understanding and, you know, can make an informed choice on, you know, what's going on in the world. So, you know.
Well, okay. So now I'll counterpoint.
I feel like we're Meet the Press.
Yeah, I know. Really. one of my sons, it would flow exactly as you just described. My son Jesse is, you know, he would pick it up, open it up, go, "Dad, what the heck? You know, oh, this is gross. What do you think?" We'd chat it out, whatever. My other son Jason is very closed, so he would pick it up and I wouldn't even know, and he would take it, absorb it, and just get moody around it. And after a while, after I dig at him, it's like, you know, what's bothering you? Open up, open up, open up. I might get to what bothered him. So it, you know, it depends. It depends on a lot. So, you know, it's just not why. I mean, it goes back to what you were saying, though. It's like, it just, that isn't what, in my opinion, and I agree with what you said, that isn't what a spiritual path is for. It's for you.
Right.
Yeah. You get better.
So what's
you
your path? Stay on your freaking path and get off my path. Get on your own
get
path.
Get off my path.
You know?
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I say thou doth protest too much because all of my songs have message to them. But, you know, I'm not forcing you to listen to it, even though I'd like to force you to buy it so I can, you know, sell a million copies and pay rent. But, you know, outside of that.
Well, but you do what an artist does, though. I mean, from a writing perspective, Ernest Hemingway once said, it's easy to write. You just sit at a typewriter and bleed. And, to be an artist, to be a really effective one, you pose what you're working on and you do it in a creative way. And that becomes your art. And that's kind of what you do on a spiritual thing. You work out your spirituality in song. And those of us who listen to it just happen to be the benefactors of getting to grow along with you. So,
well, I'll give you that. That's fine. That's a good save, Rob. This is why you're my favorite co-host for Rated LGBT Radio.
Yeah. Let's not mention that I'm his only co-host for LGBT Radio, but that's okay. All right.
Well, I mean, I don't have you co-hosting the other five nights a week or the other, you know, four nights a week.
Well, that's Rated G Radio. So. Yeah. No, I'm laughing just because that's the common parenting thing. You are my favorite dark-haired child.
Right. Well, that's what I do with all my puppies. You're my favorite girl named Jenny. You're my favorite girl named Angie. You're the best boy named Bill. You know.
Yeah. See, I'm like your puppies. You can say whatever, and I'll still wag my
tail. But you know, but when I say it, you know, I mean it with all my heart. I mean, I've got five dogs, and each of them have completely different personalities and completely different everything. Three of them even came from the same litter. So I've got two sisters and a brother from the same litter. You would think they'd be more alike. Couldn't be farther apart than anything else. But, you know, when I sit and I cuddle with them and they crawl into bed at night. And I mean, I've got Sookie that sleeps up on the top by my head, and she has to come and make sure that she's, you know, she's watching out over me. And then Bill likes to sleep on top of the pillow to make sure that next to me, to make sure that Eric isn't sleeping too close to me. And then when he realizes where Eric is sleeping, then he's like, okay, now I can sleep under the covers. And then he sleeps next to me. Angie likes to come and, you know, just fall on our back and look at me and go like, okay, Papa, tell me a bedtime story. So I, you know, tell her a little story. And then she goes and she likes to sleep between my legs. And then Jenny goes and hibernates off on the other corner of the bed. So, but you know, they all have their own, you know, they all get their quality time each day. And when I talk to them, I do, I was like, okay, you are my favorite girl named Jenny. Oh my gosh. You're so beautiful. You know, I give them a lot of positive reinforcement, and, you know, I think they get it.
Yeah. Even parenting humans, is you fall into that as well. It's like, I love each of my sons the most. In their own unique way.
In their own way.
I can't put them together and say, you know, I love them differently, but with an equal intensity. In fact, I think of Jason as the son of my heart, because for whatever reason, that's the aspect of me that pull in the most around him. And Jesse is the son of my soul. And that is how I, gut level, that is how I think of both of my sons, the son of my heart and the son of my soul.
And with that, we've got a minute left, Rob.
We do. And we're going to San Francisco. Woo!
Yay! So everybody, you have to tune in next Thursday. It's been Rob and I just bantering tonight, and we love this. If you want to be on the show as an LGBT guest, contact either one of us, Rob Watson or myself, here at Mellon. And we will figure out a nice little 20-minute segment to have you on, and we can talk about whatever LGBT issue you would like. And then next Thursday, Rob and I will be giving you a full breakdown of what's happening on our fun night out on a wild Monday in San Francisco.
That's right.
So, Rob, real quick, tell us your Saturday night show real quick.
Out in Santa Cruz, outinsantacruz.com, KSCO.com. We have Chivas Moore this weekend on the Muslim life for a feminist, and some comedy and music from some local artists, which we're very excited about.
Cool. And then tomorrow morning on Rated G Radio's Friday Dance Party, we've got Eddie Mann at 8 o'clock in the morning and Donica Knight at 9 o'clock. And if you like the show, follow the show. You'll get an email or text update every day that we're live. And we will see you live tomorrow morning on Rated G Radio and next Thursday on Rated LGBT Radio. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.